We welcome you to the preaching service of the Scotts Fork Christian Church. I'm Otis Clark, the minister. It is such a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day, and we are so pleased that you have chosen to share our morning worship service, to share our podcast. This day is a very significant day for Sharon and me. In 1971, which is 52 years ago today, our younger son, Jonathan Clark, was born, and we're so proud of him. He is a doctor here in Danville, Kentucky, and I understand he's very good, and we are very, very proud of that. You know, if you have been listening to our podcast, that you know I've been speaking about the importance of bringing people to Christ. Brothers and sisters, you have to think about this for a while, but there is nothing more important. Because one of these days, we will take our last breath. And the question is then what? And we know that as we study God's Word, that heaven is real, that it is a prepared people, a prepared place, beg your pardon, for prepared people. And in John 14, you've heard the words possibly many times, I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Isn't that consoling? And so I feel the Holy Spirit has led me in our particular endeavor we're sharing at the Scotts Fork Christian Church, and that is that starting on June the 11th and going through July 30th, it is a time when we have set a goal of reaching 8 souls for Christ, praying that we can experience that. And so I have been bringing messages about evangelism, bringing people to Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, who truly is the hope of the world. And this morning I'm going to talk about a teaching that we read about in the Gospel of Matthew, and it talks about Peter walking on the water. And so we're going to talk about a message. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. And so let's listen, if you will, to the reading of this great portion of Scripture. Matthew 14th chapter, verses 22 and following. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. And then later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. And shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. And then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Friends, this is a powerful teaching in the Word of God. Now, needless to say, we come in contact with the need of the understanding that these were miraculous things that Jesus did. And, you know, it is no harder for me to believe that Jesus walked on the water, that Peter walked on the water, than to believe that one day that Christ is going to come again. And the Bible says the grave will give up the dead, and we will be caught up in the air to meet our Lord, and there we will be forevermore. So let's take a look at this story. We know that in the Gospel of John, John adds some comments concerning it. But I want us to first of all go back and look at verses 22 through 24. Let's make sure we understand this, that Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him on the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. And later that night, when he was there alone, the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Now, what we notice, friends, as we look at this, is that we know that we can read in Matthew 8:23 that Jesus had calmed storms before. And we notice here that in this particular teaching, verse 24, that there was a sudden storm. They were probably about 3 miles out, 3 a.m., and Jesus was still up at that time. And then we read in verses 25 through 7, we read about the Savior. He was way up in hills praying. Friends, Jesus set the example. He's never asked of you and me anything that he did not do himself. And so we know certainly that our Lord was a person of prayer. And we know that he was totally mindful of what was going on. He was conscious and that he cares and he comes. And so we notice in this particular teaching that there is the teaching in Hebrews 13:5, and we need to understand that. And this is what the writer, and far as we know, it was the Apostle Paul, is that he says in Hebrews 13:5, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid." Listen, friends, to me. We live in a day when there is so much fear. We live in a day when there is so much anxiety, and on we could go. But listen, friends, one of the things I share with you is this, that if you walk with Christ, you do not have to be afraid. Like we just read in Hebrews 13:5, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not be afraid." Yes, we know that there is going to be something, if the Lord tarries his coming, that will take us out of this world. But even in those dark hours, is that we need to understand we do not need to be afraid, because he is going to be with us. This past Thursday night, I received a call from Bruce Adams' son-in-law, and at this point in time, Bruce Adams had been taken to the Harrodsburg nursing home. He'd been there about 10 days. And Bruce had shared in a lot of bad health. I had the opportunity to baptize him into Christ back in May, I believe it was, of 2017. And he just never got to where that he was able to come to church. But we stayed in contact and did the very best we could to minister to him. And so when I was there on Thursday night, his sister Sharon Adams was with him, and I saw that. I said, he's not going to live long. And so I had the privilege to spend the whole night with her, and then at 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, he passed from this life. But my point being here is that even in those hours, we do not have to be afraid. The reason a lot of times we are afraid is because we've not learned to trust the promises of God. We have not learned the scriptures and have not understood that, yes, we're going to leave this world, as the Bible said. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so if you walk with Christ, and if you realize that one of these days life is going to be over on this earth for you, you can face that hour very, very differently. And so Jesus, the Bible tells us that he walked on water. And the disciples were terrified. Now let's look again at verses 28 through 30 and continue to remind ourselves about the happenings. And Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink and cried out, Lord, Lord, save me. Now, what I want us to see, friends, is that there was, of course, the sinking of Peter, and he tries and he does walk on water, and then he sinks. But what do you notice that in verse 31 of this teaching about Peter and his walking on the water, that when he got into the boat, that was where he found his safety. In verse 31 it says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of old little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You see, friends, what we see here is Peter was what we call a successful failure. Now, we read in the Holy Word that it says that he walked on water. Now, how do we explain this? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. But I am reading, listen to me, from the divine Word of God. And that the Bible tells us that all Scripture has been given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. You see, right from the very beginning, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through, if you take out the supernatural, then you're in trouble. But why should we want to take out the supernatural when we find today archaeological finding after archaeological finding proves Jesus Christ, proves the Bible, proves the sacred Scripture? And so before you criticize him, I want you to know something, notice something, that is very important. He sank while others wouldn't go. You see, friends, I want you to understand this, and I think I am justified in saying this, and that is this. I believe that most people never live to their full potential. That there is so much more that you and I and all of us can do with our lives than we think we can. But if our focus is on the wrong things, if we're in love with the world and with the things of the world, in all probability, we will never reach our full potential or our potential in Jesus Christ. You see, he denied, or beg your pardon, as we look in the teaching in the 26th chapter, we just see another particular approach to the particular thing. But the thing that is important is not, he's saying, but that's not what we remember by him. I want you to listen to some of these statistics about people who never gave up and who kept persevering. Babe Ruth struck out 1,330 times. He hit 714 home runs. He struck out twice as many times. He held the record for home runs until Hank Aaron. And our point is that what is important is the things that he did get accomplished. For instance, Ty Cobb, he threw out more than stolen bases, but we remember him for his stolen bases. Get a hold of this, Thomas Edison. It's hard for me to wrap my arms around this. How many experiences, they asked Thomas Edison, have you tried? Listen to this, 3,000. How can you go on with having had so many failures? He said, I have learned 3,000 ways it can't be done. Friends, there is no question, as I studied life, and I have been around a few days, and I've studied life, studied, and continue to study, and that is this, is that I would rather set a goal And even if I didn't reach it, then to not have set one at all. And in all probability, if we don't realize it right that moment, we will realize it in time. Work as if everything depended on us, and pray as if everything depended on God. And so we look at this and we see that when he got into the boat, that he was saved. And it was in the boat. And friends, the same is true with you and me. If we want to get to heaven, we've got to get in the boat, the church, become a part of the body of Christ, and then seek to live for him. And so this is such a beautiful, beautiful teaching. Yes, he did not continue to walk on water. Some people have said, as we look at this portion of Scripture, what happened and caused him trouble is that he took his eyes off of cross. When he says in verse 30, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.'" And friends, in life, can I ask something of you? I don't know where you are in your walk with Christ. I don't know where you are in your understanding of Christ. But the greatest mistake any person can make, or mistakes, first of all, is not becoming a Christian. And second, after becoming a Christian, is to take your eyes off of Christ. And friends, today, it is very, very hard for us to keep our minds and our hearts on the things of Christ. Because, yes, will the things of the world satisfy? Yes, but only for a time. And just recently I've been thinking along these lines, is that all right, we seek to listen to all the calls of the world. We seek to listen to all of the voices of the world, and we take no time to read the greatest book in the world. We take no time to understand the greatest person in the world. And then we come to the end of our road, and we take our last breath. And then I found myself saying, Otis, there's a lot to think about here. And that is the question is, then what? Going into an eternity without hope. How sad that is. And so he was saved because he knew the person he needed to call. Look at verse 31 where it says, "Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Let's all ask ourselves this morning that if you were given a piece of paper and that paper had a scale 1 to 10 and you were asked to circle the number about how strong your faith is. Friends, first of all, the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that it's impossible to please him without faith. And we know that many and many a person numbers of people have realized great success because of their perseverance and because of their faith. I can't emphasize enough to you, friends, that, let's say that you love the world and you love the things of the world. Well, they satisfy. Sure, they will satisfy. But then, as you've heard the expression, that we've never seen a U-Haul following a hearse. You can't take it with you. So what are we going to take? What do we have to take? What have we sent on ahead of us in serving our Lord so that we can have the hope of eternal life? Now, we ask the question, can we walk on water today? Well, probably not. But what I do know, listen to me, is that Jesus wants men and women to be a people of faith, who become Christians, who appropriate their faith and work so that they can hear the words when they come to the end of life's road. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. Enter now into the joys of heaven, and I will make you ruler over many." You see, what are the keys we need to ask ourselves to walking on the water? Well, verse 29, I go back and read it again. Jesus said, "Come," over and over. Someone has said that the word C-O-M-E occurs 600 times in the Bible. And what we notice as we look at this is that the others didn't sink, but also they didn't walk on the water either. Friends, do you think that you and me and all of us are praying enough? Lord, increase our faith. Let me say that again. Lord, increase our faith. Guide us by your divine spirit so that, so to speak, that we might walk on water, do things that we never dreamed of doing. So many times we won't get far from shore with one foot, so to speak, on the pier. And the Bible tells us to trust him. One of my favorite hymns in the Bible is a song that says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. What a beautiful, beautiful hymn. So what are the keys? Keep your eyes on Christ. And friends, that is a real challenge because, again, and I don't want to overwork the terminology, but the world is and has our attention unbelievably to the point that it just appears that even Christians, that we have forgotten God. And so if we're going to do what we need to do, we need to ask ourselves, where are your eyes? Where are my eyes? Are they on self? Are they on the world? It's a very, very important question because it's very sad because it seems that a great host of the people in this world of ours have forgotten the greatest person in the world and the greatest teachings. And one day they will come to a place where they will have to take a look at that. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, Christians in Hebrews 12 and to this great verse, he says, "Listen, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Friends, let's all ask ourselves, what about us? What do we have our eyes on? What are we thinking about today? What do we think about many times on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday? Do we think about the lost? Do we think about our families? Do we pray for our families? Do we pray for our children? Do we pray that we can be an example? Do we pray that we can encourage them? And on I can go. And Paul, in writing to the church at Colossae, some very powerful words in Colossians, and I want to read those to you in the third chapter, verses 1 through 3, then listen what he says. "Then, since you have been raised with Christ," listen now, "set your heart on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ among, and then he continues to write and says that when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, what powerful words. What do you think is going to be said when you finish life and when Christ comes again to take his church home, to take the body, to take the Christians home? What do you think he's going to say to you? What do you think he's going to say to me? Friends, the challenge is great. The challenge is great. And these are great words in Colossians, the third chapter. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ. Keep on keeping on, friends. And that's hard. It's hard. The devil, Satan, is having a heyday. Evil is at an unbelievable high in our world. Evil is prevalent. Turn to your left, turn to your right, forward, back, whatever direction you might want to go. And evil is present. Paul, when he wrote to the Philippians, we've heard these words many a time, but they are so powerful. And Paul said this, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark for the high calling in Christ Jesus. I press on. Where are you in life, friend? Oh, if I could talk to each of you who are listening to this podcast on a one-to-one basis, how I would encourage you, love you, care for you, and say, friend, if you're not a Christian, become a Christian. Realize that one of these days you will leave this world. That's no question about it. Just like this past Friday morning, after I had been with my dear friend Bruce Adams, and my goodness, the poor fellow looked like he was in a concentration camp. Just the different problems he had just literally destroyed his earthly body. But he has a much greater body now. He is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the question is, can I say about myself, can you say that? I know that when I die, I will go to be in the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, we look at our world, and there are many, many things going on in our world. And the story was told about a young man and some terrible happenings that happened in their home. And he knew enough as a young man to call 911. And he called, and he said to them as he was talking, and maybe they thought he was so young, or maybe he was just not truthful what was happening. And he said to them, "Don't hang up. Don't hang up." Friends, the world is saying, in many ways, don't hang up. They know that they do not have that peace that passes all understanding. They know there's very little joy in their life. They know that their life is empty. And they know that if the things they have, the material things, were taken, then he'd have nothing. And I encourage you, friend, if you're not a Christian, if you're not giving your life to him, I encourage you to do so. Believe in him. And Jesus, whenever he called people, he always called them publicly. And he said, "Confess me before men, and I will confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. Repent of sins." Say, "Lord, not only am I sorry for the sins and the wrongs I have committed, but Lord, I ask you to forgive me. And with your help and with the Holy Spirit, I'll do everything to live as I ought to live. And be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Be added to the body of Christ. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then live a life of faithfulness." I've never seen a person in all the years I've been in ministry come and say to me, "Otis, I am sorry that you encouraged me to become a Christian and to seek to live the Christian life." But many have said, "Thank you. Thank you so much." Let us pray. Father, today, let us pull away from the many voices of the world. And Father, let us say, "Lord, help me today. Maybe you need to make a decision. And if I can help you in any way, just please contact me. My phone number is in the phone book. And I'll be more than happy to share with you. Nothing greater, nothing greater." The world doesn't understand that. And we pray, Lord, that we can help them to understand that. Bless our efforts at the Scotts Fork Christian Church. Be with each one who's listening and say, "Lord, I pray that you will guide me and help me that I might live, hopefully, to my potential." Guide us and direct us, Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.